This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
House will now come to order. Leading us in prayer today is Deacon Denny Davis from St. Agnes Parish in Vermilion. That'll be followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Mary Merksbauer from Aberdeen.
I invite all of you just to stop. I invite you to close your eyes, to be silent just for a few minutes. Our lives are hectic. You have a lot of decisions to make. Let us pray. Let your God love you. Be silent. Be still. Alone, empty, before your God. Say nothing, ask nothing, be silent, be still. Let your God look upon you, that is all. God knows, God understands. God loves you with an enormous love. He only wants to look upon you with that love. Quiet, still, be. Let your God love you. May your love flow through this house, Lord, that these brothers and sisters may make their decisions with love and mercy. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson, Bartling, Beal, Bolin, Bordeaux, Bruner, Campbell, Consett, Craig, Cronin, Deutsch, DeSanto, Dryden, Duvall, Feichert, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hager, Harrison, Haugard, Hawks, Hawley, Heinemann, Holmes, Hunhoff, Hunt, Jensen, Johns, Kaiser, Killer, Kirschman, Klum, Langer, Latterell, Marty, May, McCleary, Mickelson, Munsterman, Norstrup, Otten, Partridge, Peterson, Qualm, Rasmussen, Ring, Romkema, Rounds, Rosum, Russell, Schaefer, Schoenbeck, Shanefish, Schramp, Sly, Soley, Solem, Stalzer, Steinhauer, Stevens, Tulson, Vertio, Werner, Westra, Wick, Willitson, Woolman, Zickman, Speaker Wink. Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the fifth day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Dean Wink, Chair.
Those in favor of approving the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Journal's approved. We have a few announcements, the first being the Doctor of the Day, Dr. Dan Heinemann. Dr. Heinemann is a past president of the South Dakota State Medical Association. He is currently a chief medical officer with Sanford Health. Prior to accepting his administrative role with Sanford Health, Dr. Heinemann practiced family medicine in Canton for more than 20 years. He received his medical degree from the University of South Dakota School of Medicine and completed a Sioux Falls family practice residency in 1984. Is Dr. Heinemann in the house with us? Dr. Heinemann, raise your hand. That was rich, I'll tell you that, yeah. Please join the members of the South Dakota Beer Distributors Association tonight from 5 to 8 this evening at Red Rosa for their annual reception. He said, just doesn't get better than beer and pizza with friends. So the South Dakota Beer Distributors. In conjunction with the South Dakota Library Association Legislative Day, 8 newly accredited South Dakota libraries will be honored at a ceremony in the rotunda immediately following session today. So if you want to be with the South Dakota Library Association, they have 8 new accredited South Dakota libraries, and that will be at the in the rotunda following the session. Representative Beal, do you have any announcements?
Mr. Speaker, personal privilege.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce my daughter, Jessica. She is this year's candidate. She is Mrs. South Dakota International. And she is a beautiful kid, and I love her. And I wanted to just ask all you to give her a hand.
Welcome to Catholic. And to my left, up in the gallery, to your right, are the district FFA officers from across the state. Let's welcome them to the Capitol. Yeah, this morning, too, we had the Farm Bureau supplied some food for breakfast this morning. And then in the back at lunchtime, we had the Brookings Day, City of Brookings, supplying their ice cream from the campus. Let's thank those folks for their thing. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on State Affairs respectfully reports that House Bill 1001 do pass. House Bill 1006 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Brian Gosch, Chair. The Committee on Commerce and Energy respectfully reports that House Bill 1030 and 1032 do pass. House Bill 1038, 1040, and 1041 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Tim Rounds, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bills 37, 38, 39, 40, and 41, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Kay Johnson, Secretary.
Motions.
House Concurrent Resolution 1001. Representative Boland moves that HCR 1001 be adopted.
That motion having been made and seconded for HCR 1001 to be adopted is now up for consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative Boland.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the things that I have tried to do during my tenure in the legislature is that on occasion I would bring resolutions early in the session honoring different presidents. I've given brief addresses concerning the life of President Ronald Reagan, the life of President Gerald Ford, the life of President Calvin Coolidge, who, by the way, again, just in review, was the president who spent a longer time in the state of South Dakota as president than any other of our individuals who occupied 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Today, I would like to talk briefly about the life of Harry Truman. A couple of reasons for that. First of all, when I was born in 1950, Truman was in the White House. And secondly, I thought after talking about three Republican presidents, I should talk about my favorite Democratic president. thank you for the representative from District 15. Now, Harry Truman was born in 1884 in Missouri. He spent most of his life in the small town of Independence, which, of course, is today a suburb of Kansas City. Truman attended local schools and took some college courses, but never graduated from college. He is our most recent president as far as chronology, who did not earn a college degree. He was a young farmer and stayed on the family farm. Truman served honorably in World War I as an artillery unit in Europe. And shortly after the war ended, he returned to the United States and married Bess Wallace, who he was married to for 53 years until his passing in 1972. Truman had successes and failures in his life. He started a business after World War I, but unfortunately went bankrupt. But he always had the farm, and he never allowed it to be put into financial jeopardy through mortgages and borrowing against that property. Now, in 1922, at the age of 38, Truman was elected a county commissioner in Jackson County. Highways were being paved at that time as the automobile was becoming much more common in the United States. And so the paving of roads became a priority for Truman. He was a diligent public servant and was greatly respected for his work to make life better for citizens in the county. Now, in 1934, at the age of 50, Truman decided to expand his political horizons. He decided to run for the United States Senate, trying to go from being a county commissioner to a United States senator. It was a three-way race for the nomination. Missouri at that time was a very Democratic state. And Truman, his two opponents were two congressmen, both from the St. Louis area. By the way, if you've ever been to Missouri, you'll know that it's got a big population center over on the east, St. Louis, and a big population center over on the west, Kansas City. But other than that, it's quite a rural, small-town state. Truman recognized he couldn't get any votes in the St. Louis area, too much competition. But he enlisted the support of a Kansas City, might say a political boss named Thomas Pendergast, who helped him in the Kansas City area, and then he traveled extensively through the state's rural areas seeking support where he could possibly gain support. Truman was given no chance to victory, but he emphasized again campaigning in rural areas where statewide politicians rarely campaigned. In a great surprise, in 1934, he won a narrow victory in the primary over his two opponents, who both came from St. Louis, and then in the final, in the general election, he was elected to the U.S. Senate in 1934. Again, moving from being a county commissioner in a very rural county to the United States Senate, and that was a huge step in his life. Truman was reelected in 1940, but then in 1944, you might think for a second now, Truman went from being a county commissioner in 1934 to being president of the United States 11 years later. Truman was reelected in 1940, but then in 1944, he had another big break. Franklin Roosevelt was not happy with his vice president, who was a gentleman from Iowa by the name of Henry Wallace, and neither were others in the Democratic Party. Roosevelt decided to dump Vice President Wallace, and after much consultation and thought, he selected Harry Truman to be his running mate because he didn't think there were too many people who would be opposed to him. Tragically, 82 days after being sworn into office as Vice President, Franklin Roosevelt died, and Truman became president, after being vice president for only 82 days. Truman served 7 3/4 years as president. During his time in office, he made momentous decisions, such as using the atomic bomb on Japan that ended World War II, initiating the Marshall Plan, which of course rebuilt Europe, and was one of the greatest acts of goodwill the United States has ever been involved with. If anyone ever says the United States doesn't do anything good, remind them of the Marshall Plan, one of the most selfless acts on the part of any nation to take our tax money and rebuild Europe. Thirdly, he and his advisors also recognized the threat of communism and began the policy of containment that every United States president, both Republican and Democrat, from Truman through George H.W. Bush, supported until of course, in 1989, the Berlin Wall fell and the Soviet Union began to collapse. Truman won a term in his own right in 1948, by the way, running against probably a very inept Republican, Thomas Dewey, and he served until January 20th, 1953. Interestingly, he left office disliked because the Korean War was dragging on. Today, every reputable historian and student of American history regards him as one of our finest presidents, and time has moved him from being a very unpopular president to today, almost everybody recognizes him as one of our top 10 presidents of the United States. Time has proven almost all of his decisions, especially in foreign policy, correct, and he deserves our thanks and admiration. His library in Independence, just outside of Kansas City, is a great tribute to his life and work. I've had the opportunity to go there twice. I would encourage you to attend as well. He is a man who deserves our thanks. I want to thank you for allowing me to speak today about a common man from the Midwest who made a very major difference in America. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Professor Bolin. It's great if you can learn something and have fun at the same time. That's the perfect combination. So thank you very much. Any further comments on HCR 1001? Hearing no further comments, the question for the House is adoption of House Concurrent Resolution 1001. Those in favor vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote. Representative Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Please help me welcome a rodeo queen who happens to be sitting directly behind the speaker. Her name is Shelby Riggs. She's from Mitchell, South Dakota. She's a 2015 4-H rodeo ambassador. She's 18 years old, the daughter of Kevin and Becky Riggs, and she has a younger brother named John. She's a senior at Mitchell High, and she'll be joining us in our third page session. So February 7th through 19th is a page, and she will be a great addition from what I know of her already. She was crowned in August, and if you've been to some of the events around South Dakota, like Dakota Fest and the State Fair, you may well have run into her. She loves meeting new people, travels throughout the United States, and loves rodeos and 4-H. So welcome, Shelby, and we'll look forward to having you here.
Let's help Representative Rosen welcome Shelby to the Capitol.
Representative DeSanto, Dryden, and Harrison. Representative Harrison. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 67 yeas, 3 excused.
House Concurrent Resolution 1001, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby adopted. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 1066, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the public notice for a meeting of a public body. House Bill 1067, act to promote quality, competition, and freedom of choice in the health insurance marketplace.
Speaker puts House Bill 1067 into Commerce, House Bill 1069 into Health and Human Services, House Bill 1068 into Judiciary, and House Bill 1066 into Local Government. First reading Senate bills.
Senate Bill 37, an act to adopt the 2015 edition of the Uniform Plumbing Code. Senate Bill 38, an act to revise certain provisions concerning...
For you high school students up to my left, our Constitution requires that we have two readings of each bill. Before we had the Internet and computers, the representatives, our predecessors, wanted to make sure that every bill got to be heard twice and so that nothing would slip through the cracks. And this would serve as our first reading. They talk over each other just in the essence of time. But the second reading will take place when we're going to actually vote on the bill. Speaker signed Senate Bill 37, 38, 39, 40, and 41 to Commerce. Second reading of consent calendar items.
Pursuant to House Rule 7-1, the Speaker has removed House Bill 1025 from the consent calendar.
Items on the consent calendar were reported out of committee with no dissenting votes and no opposition and are not subject to debate. However, questions may be asked of the sponsor.
House Bill 1026, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the annual inspection requirement for licensed health care facilities. House Bill 1028, an act to repeal certain outdated and obsolete statutes related to the Department of Health. House Bill 1019, an act to revise certain provisions related to milk sampling and grading licenses and tester and grader licenses.
Consent calendar bills, having had their second reading, are up for consideration final passage. Are there any questions? Seeing none, the question for the House is final passage of bills on the consent calendar. Those in favor vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members will proceed to vote. Representative Solem.
Personal privilege, please.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the life of me, I'm not sure why he was seated along with the rodeo queen above the speaker, but the mayor of Watertown is in our presence. He is a rodeo star in his own right, as he has to rope the city commission quite on a regular basis. So welcome, Mayor.
Much welcome.
Representative Consett, Hager, May, Schaefer, Woolman. Hager votes aye. Consett votes aye. Hager votes aye. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 67 yeas, 3 excused.
Consent bills, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Hearing none, the titles are deemed correct. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1018, an act to define certain terms related to commercial fertilizer and soil amendments.
House Bill 1018, having had its second reading, is up for final consideration and passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, this is a bill I bring you on behalf of the Department of Agriculture, brought to our Ag Committee, and what it does is add the definition and of a term called manipulated manure. In all my years up here, I've often dealt with a lot of manipulated manure. I never really knew what it was, but the definition is now in statute, so, or it will be if we vote on this, so we're in good shape. But basically, this is just a term that deals with composted or dried whatever manure that would be now added to the definitions of commercial fertilizer. So, very simple bill. With that, I would just ask for your favorable vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks on House Bill 1018? Any further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1018. Those in favor vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members will proceed to vote.
Representative Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 67 yeas, 3 excused.
House Bill 1018, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1020, an act to revise certain provisions concerning fire prevention and compacts related to the prevention and control of forest fires.
House Bill 1020, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill also came the Ag Committee, agency bill. What this does is deals with the Wildland Fire Division that is within the South Dakota Department of Ag. What these people do is conduct fire management suppression activities within the state. Now, this our state Wildland Fire Division is currently in a compact with several other states that we share resources. Within this compact, we can bill back and forth, and we can go to other states, help other states. They help us. The practical thing, obviously, is to deal with Canada in this same manner. We'd like to involve them in this compact. What this does is allow the provinces in Canada to join the compact so that we can rely on their help. We can help them when there's wildfires, and more importantly, we can bill back and forth and make each other whole when we have fires and we help each other. So with that, very simple bill again, and help our Wildland Fire Division and vote for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks on House Bill 1020? Any further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1020. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members will proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 67 yeas, 3 excused.
House Bill 1020, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1002, an act to eliminate certain reporting requirements for the County General Fund.
House Bill 1002, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Consett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What House Bill 1002 is doing, it came out of our summer study on county funding. It's repealing a semi-annual county general fund balance requirement on reporting that's been in statute since 2004. If you look at the initial bill, it does two things. It changes some terminology to conform to current general accepted accounting principles. It's a technical terminology that needs to be updated. If you look at lines 7 through 11, our substance of the bill, and it remove a semi-annual general fund balance reporting requirement. It was initially put in, the statute was initially put in 1981 to establish a 40% maximum fund balance for the counties. But what we did not do is allow the counties to impose or the state to impose any type of fees or fines if the accounting came back and it wasn't the 40% limitation. The counties expressed concerns that measuring fund balance on December 31st was measuring at the high point of when the counties would bring in their property tax collection. And what we were requiring is that they would also do reports on March 31st and September 30th. So as you can see, the funds measured out extremely differential depending on when they collected the property taxes. And what we've done since 2004 is collect this data, and as expected, general fund balances are typically lower on March 31st and September 30th than they are on December 31st. How much depends on how much they collect depends on their property tax collection. So we feel that at this point, summer study feels that it is a waste of expenses on behalf of the county. It's allowing at a state level also. I would ask for your positive support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks on House Bill 1002? Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question for the House is final passage of House Bill 1002. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members will proceed to vote.
Representative Cronin. No, it's okay. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there are 66 yeas, 1 nay, 3 excused.
House Bill 1002, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1003, enacted by certain administrative functions regarding county government.
House Bill 1003, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move that we defer House Bill 1003 till tomorrow, the 7th legislative day.
Is there a second? All in favor of the motion to defer 1003 to the next legislative day, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Announcements. Any announcements? Representative Virchio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be no transportation meeting tomorrow.
Okay. Representative Sly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 20 minutes after session is done, if the Senate is out, we'll be meeting up in room 414 to talk about education funding.
414. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Tax will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.
Tax at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Representative Musterman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Health and Human Services, 7:45 a.m. See you then.
Representative Qualm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6:30, FFA breakfast and at the American Inn, and then after that, Ag at 7:45.
Very good. Further announcements? Any further announcements? Representative Consett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
local government is meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. We have seven bills, so be prepared.
Very good. Further announcements? Representative Anderson, Representative Hager almost got your job on this one here. Go ahead and get us adjourned. All in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned.